the Conflict Risk Network has absorbed and taken over some of the major aspects of the work that the Sudan Divestment Task Force did, which was since 2006. One of the major changes now, and it's a really innovative development, is that we are now conducting our engagement work, which is done with companies operating in conflict areas, on behalf of a group of institutional investors. It allows us now, when we engage with companies, to leverage a very powerful collective voice that now stands for billions of dollars in assets.
Has there been a positive response from the stakeholders in the New York State Comptroller's Office on this divestment switch?
There has been. I was actually up in New York during the announcement. I think people really see a sense of dedication on the part of the Comptroller's Office. I think they have a very savvy, practical approach that allows them to continue to leverage their influence. This was more than divesting. It was also about being committed to hanging in there and, as one of the largest funds in the country, leveraging their influence with companies that are still invested.
Well, I believe that there are 9 companies affected by the New York State decision. Most of them are oil companies. What will be the impact on getting these firms to change their business ties with governments such as Sudan and Iran?
I think the impact, at least through the comptroller's decision to withdraw from some of these companies, the message it sends to them is that there's a price to be paid if they fail to address stakeholder concerns, the comptroller's concerns about risk and connections to conflict. So I think divestment and the threat of divestment should encourage these companies to come to the table to discuss steps they can take. As far as their decision to continue to engage with certain companies, that should encourage these companies to continue dialogue, and the impact there would be that they would hopefully take steps to address their role in conflict on the ground.
Is there any evidence from past divestments that the companies that are affected by the divestments have taken steps to engage with the governments of Sudan and other countries that this policy is trying to change and actually modify their policies for the better?
There is. In fact, our organization has, since 2006, been working to engage with companies that are operating in Sudan. The threat of divestment, in fact, which has been put in place through legislative means in 20-some states in the U.S. and then also implemented to a certain degree on the federal level, has actually brought some of them to the table to talk proactively about steps they can take. And with a couple companies speaking with government officials from the government of Sudan, it has been effective as a tool, in addition to taking other steps on the ground.
What does the New York State Comptroller DiNapoli mean when he talks about risk mitigation programs, and how did the study of these programs lead to New York State committing to this divestment?
The idea of investing in conflict can entail types of risks. So you can look at the risks for the companies. There's operational risks that make them a risky investment. So on the ground, if you have an oil company that's in the middle of an armed conflict where oil workers are taken hostage by rebel groups, that's going to interrupt company operations and be detrimental down the line to their shareholders. And there's the idea also of risk to the local population. So the question of if we're investing in this company, does that mean we're causing harmful effects to the local populations? Is this company causing environmental damage? Are there human rights abuses associated? All of this relates to reputational risk and could be a decrease in financial performance. So I have a feeling that all of these were ingredients in the comptroller's question of what is risk.
We've seen the effect of divestment policies going back to days when it was used effectively against companies investing in apartheid South Africa. Do you believe that today irresponsible foreign investment policies are still prevailing, or are most companies showing a social conscience regarding human rights violations in countries like Sudan and Iran?
I think the general sense is that it's changing, that they're coming around. The idea of investing in conflict and the risk that that entails is something that's very much on their radar. And I think that's reflected by the positive response we've had in terms of gaining Conflict Risk Network members. I actually, a couple weeks ago, spoke at a conference in Istanbul that was convened by the United Nations Global Compact. It's a very good event, and they brought together major institutional investors as well as companies to have a discussion about what they expect from each other and what's reasonable. And the message that I think really prevailed at that conference, which was fascinating, was that investors and companies are aware of these issues, and what they're really looking for is the provision of good information between the two of them about who is involved in what, information on what can be done, not just what shouldn't be done in terms of company operations. And then they're looking for a vehicle to have that conversation in terms of how to actually implement these best steps and best practices that investors are looking for from companies. I was really struck to see a willingness on both sides. And one reason I think we're very excited to be launching the Conflict Risk Network is that I think we're addressing all three of those areas. We're providing the research and information to inform stakeholders. We are answering the questions about what companies can do, steps they can take on the ground to have a positive impact. And then third, we're providing the venue to connect stakeholders, or so investors, with these companies to actually have these steps implemented.
How many companies have you persuaded to change business ties with Sudan? And how many institutions, government bodies, universities have you gotten to change their investment practices?
We have been engaging over the past several years with the majority of companies that are in our Sudan company report. So there's about 90 to 100 companies in there. We've had true success with at least 13 of these over the past couple years. These are major multinational corporations. So when I talk about a success, I'm talking about, you know, steps they've actually taken to address the humanitarian situation in these conflict areas, so in Sudan, steps to address the actual impact of their operations on the ground, whether it's environmentally or in terms of human rights, and steps they've taken in the best case scenario to determine what they can do to act outside their traditional sphere of influence to positively influence the situation on the ground. So for some companies, that might actually go so far as to have them speak with government officials about the question of conflict. In terms of Conflict Risk Network members, we had a very exciting and strong launch in June. We had about 20 founding members. These range from state pension funds to financial service providers to college endowments and foundations to for-profit institutional investors. Continue to grow on literally a daily basis.
The impact on Sudan is obviously being felt there. I mean, do you have anything to say about what stage the divestment process is in terms of having an effect on Sudan and getting them to change their policies?
I think one point here is just that the question of the role of foreign investment in conflict in Sudan is just one piece of a really big puzzle. There's a lot of factors that contribute and enable and facilitate conflict there. But I do think it's had an impact. The engagement process in particular between stakeholders, which we're facilitating, and companies has had an impact. We've seen that with companies in particular. And I think over time, as more and more of them take positive steps, we'll see a bigger impact. We have had members of our organization here meet with high-level U.S. administration officials who had met with high-level Sudanese government officials. And they've said that literally every Sudanese government official brought up the issue of divestment and the pressure on companies. So it's being felt, and it's a big issue there. And we're going to continue to work with these companies to leverage their sphere of influence there.
Now, the New York State Comptroller, DiNapoli, began exploring the possibilities of divestment in 2007. Do you know what went into the process and what finally made New York make the decision to divest a reality?
Yeah, I think, and again, I don't want to speak fully for the Comptroller, but I know, at least from our end, that we've had an ongoing process of providing their office with information on company operations, and in particular on information regarding steps that some of these companies had taken to address risk and to address possible complicity in violence and whether or not their own operations were responsible. So I think it was an ongoing process that involved complex work on behalf of the Comptroller's office in terms of them conducting their own engagement with companies, taking a shot at influencing them and requesting changes on the ground. And I believe the final decision had to do with how responsive these companies were to these stakeholder requests.
Could this decision have been made by New York State at an earlier time, and why did they decide at this time to draw the line concerning companies doing business in Sudan?
You know, I don't know what was behind their particular decisions. I think that the Comptroller may have asked for a real overhaul and an overall reassessment of the question of risk in their investments, and I believe it was born out of that type of examination. What we've been able to bring to their attention, I think, has enabled them to make the decisions that they announced, which was to withdraw from a certain number of companies and to also continue engagement and hold on to a number of companies that they believe may have a positive response. So I think the important picture here is that the information we've provided has allowed the Comptroller to take a look at its investments and then really be able to leverage its own influence against these companies.